Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Hope you've had an awesome week and you're settling into winding down for the weekend. Tis the season to be merry, or as best we can. It's December. Where has the year gone? As much as we don't want to remember, and that's a lot of us, however, I have been blessed and very fortunate to have had an amazing year with lots of wins. And I just wish to say a massive thank you to one and all for all of your love and support that you have shown and continue to do so for me and for Kick-Ass Women. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I have had another amazing week with the much unexpected announcement of being awarded and acknowledged in the Top 100 Women Awards. I am absolutely gobsmacked, or I was yesterday at the announcement of it. And yes, that's very unusual for me to have not a few words to say. Look, I'm truly humbled and honoured and most grateful to be acknowledged, but more so proud to be amongst this extraordinary powerhouse of other amazing and inspirational women. So again, another very heartfelt thank you to one and all that have supported me and Kick-Ass Women over the past year and who continue to support me. Love to one and all, and congratulations to each and every one of the amazing women in the top 100. And I'll also say I am truly and most graciously thankful for the opportunities that have been presented to me throughout the year and all of the new amazing and inspirational connections I've made this year. So again, that massive big thank you and hug and kiss to you all. Rightio, let's move on. And seeing as it's Christmas over the coming month, I'm going to talk about a number of general things to help us all get through the silly season sanely and intact, and hopefully come out in the new year of 2021 with an abundance of inspiration to reignite your motivation to grow and learn throughout 2021. So first off, we need to acknowledge safety doesn't take a holiday at Christmas, and that's inclusive of personal, mental, emotional, physical, and our overall general safety. Christmas is a time of celebration, and it's important to remember the most important reason for workplace safety is not at work at all. So in my regional area, and as in most areas, they are all in the midst of their most risky time of the year. There is a bottleneck of activity with many businesses winding down for a much and well-deserved break and others leading into their peak seasons, and especially now with the borders opening. So the consequences of safety failings don't always kill, but they can lead to permanent injuries or reduce their ability to enjoy their lives. So to enjoy time off, holidays, happy times with your friends and family, you need to keep on the ball and focus on what's to be done so you can make it to those personal events you value and you want to get to. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show, Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I'll tell you how it is. So today is episode 17, and as we said, it's the start of December and the merriest time of the year, Christmas time. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the glow getter. My background is I'm no stranger to wearing high vis, workwear, getting down and dirty in the grease and the coal dust. My passion and purpose is to reinforce confidence, support and encourage more women to kick off their heels and tap into their steel caps and consider pursuing these non-traditional roles and careers as I share my knowledge, career experiences, and the understanding of the industries. So here we are on the radio show. I'll take this opportunity also to say a very good morning to all the listeners across Australia and good evening to everyone in the US. I hope we can keep you good company over the coming hour. And I'd also like to mention that today's show is brought to you by one of the show's sponsors, Kick-Ass Women, of course. And a huge shout out to all the women working out on track and on sites all over the globe today. And I hope you stay safe and have a fantastic day or night and go home safely. This might also be a good time to mention that the radio show does and may contain adult language. So be prepared. Let's get into it. Okay, back to our little show. Surviving the silly season can be tough, whether you're dealing with a fractured family, struggling for money, facing grief or loss, or you're simply feeling overwhelmed by crowds and present pressure. So here today, I will offer up some ideas on how to handle Christmas and the end of year period feeling stronger, more energised and at ease in your life. You can't escape Christmas. It comes every year. And as Christmas rolls around for 2020, so too do our festive season movie favourites like Love Actually, my absolute favourite, The Holiday, Elf, The Santa Claus, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, another favourite, and Groundhog Day. Hang on, did I just say Groundhog Day? Yep, that classic 1993 movie starring Andy McDowell and Bill Murray, where a self-centred weatherman goes to a small town for an assignment but ends up trapped in a cycle of reliving the same day over and over. And hasn't that been 2020, the absolute Groundhog Day with our COVID experiences? What a nightmare. Sadly, though, for many of us, this time of year is always like Groundhog Day. So if this time of year is like that for you, isn't it time you do something different? Just saying. First step to surviving the silly season, as we like to call it here in Australia, starts with stress. That same familiar feeling of stress, overwhelm and anxiety often descends upon us as we enter this hectic time of year. Throughout the year, you may have worked on your confidence, but Christmas is a new level of stress for everyone, whether you are using tools to survive or not. It's Christmas, the silly season, and that means we go into survival mode. Even though it's the time of the year when we should be celebrating, unwinding, spending quality time with family and friends, and importantly, taking some much needed time out for ourselves to recharge and re-energise for the new year and what a new year 2021 is going to be for everyone. However, instead we end up feeling on edge, saying we're stressed out, rushing to meet tight deadlines and deal with demanding customers, family, friends, running ourselves ragged with the end of year school activities, concerts, business events, and fighting the hordes of Christmas shoppers to buy presents for people we have no idea what to get them. Succumbing to family traditions that we wish had become extinct along with the dinosaurs. Spending time with people we have no real connection with or committing socially. And the reward? Physical and mental exhaustion with little or no energy left to crawl to the Christmas finishing line. And don't even get me started on the new year. No, not yet. We've got a month to do that. So let us say, firstly, I'm going to gift you some top tips to avoid emotional exhaustion at work. Recently, a friend of mine told me that she was thinking of quitting her job, and I was astounded. She's one of those people who actually does or did bound out of bed and looks forward to her days at work. She's always loved a job and she fought tooth and nail to get it. So there she was on the brink of quitting. What was going on? I dug a little deeper And she told me that she was just exhausted and didn't care anymore. She'd stopped putting much effort into her work. She'd started taking sick days, and she barely spoke to her colleagues at all. In short, she'd checked out. In her words, it all feels like too much, and I just can't be bothered with it. Alarm bells started ringing in my head, and it became clear that she was suffering from emotional exhaustion. How many of you have just resonated with what I said? What is emotional exhaustion and what causes it? Emotional exhaustion can be tricky to spot as it manifests differently for different people, but is typically characterized by a don't care attitude, feeling low and a lack of emotional strength. It's similar to burnout, and it can also be a precursor to depression. So it's not something to ignore when it happens. And it can be triggered by almost anything. But emotional exhaustion tends to occur as the result of long periods of stress. In my friend's case, it wasn't just her job that was the problem, but a combination of work and several personal issues that was sapping her energy just dry. Armed with the knowledge of what was wrong, she began work on setting things right and vowed not to let it happen again. It got me wondering, how could she have prevented this from happening in the first place? And what strategies have other people used to avoid emotional exhaustion at work? I opened up this question to some of my friends and followers on social media. As always, the responses were overwhelming and loads of great advice was shared, which I'm going to share with you now. So some of the top tips to avoid emotional exhaustion at work: start with developing self-awareness. As one follower pointed out, we can't help ourselves unless we know ourselves. She said, each of us is wired uniquely and so energized as well as depleted by different things. Know yourself, then respect and balance what gives you energy and what depletes it. So on Facebook, another supporter made a good point about not letting our thoughts control us. They said, be aware of your thoughts. Acknowledge them, but guide them to focus on what you are doing. The next is develop your emotional intelligence. That's what someone else said. And this suggestion from a wise lady I know is a great one. Do a personal check-in every 2 hours. Take 3 deep breaths and check both physical and emotional health. Take quick steps to fix what you found and get back to work. You could be tense, frustrated, hot, hungry, hormonal. You have to acknowledge it before you can change it. Then the most important is taking care of yourself. Self-care is a big theme. So another Facebook friend said, have boundaries and invest in self-care. Don't work long hours unnecessarily on a regular basis. Take a lunch break away from your desk. Don't send or respond to emails 24 hours a day. Have fun and meaningful things to do and look forward to outside of work. Use your time wisely. So offered up with some practical tips such as stick to 1 cup of coffee per day. I'll have to think about that. Get 8 hours sleep and meditate for 15 minutes before going to work, which that's something that I've been introduced to this year. And it should make the day more bearable. In fact, meditation and mindfulness were very popular strategies for a lot of people. They more or less all said, use mindful practices, taking a mindful moment to breathe, taking a joyful walk and talk, meeting in lieu of sitting and stretching at your desk. And don't forget about sleep. This was rightly pointed out. Inadequate sleep can cause us not to be able to deal with things as effectively as we normally would. And don't suffer alone. A lot of advice came through about seeking help and support and realizing that you're not alone and there is many people out there that will support you and help you. So on Facebook, it was summed up in this point nicely. It was said, surround yourself with positive people. Breathe. Pace yourself. Acknowledge that we all have peaks and valleys. You may feel better or different with time. Other people may be going through a rough patch also. And another follower highlighted the benefits of finding a mentor. She said, find a mentor or be a mentor. Both make those work hours so much more engaging and fulfilling. Mentoring can help us sustain an objective perspective and support our career growth or your job mental health. And then there was another excellent point about engaging with those around you. Surround yourself with positive thinking people and manage with a coaching style of leadership. Hold different and difficult conversations early so they aren't left to fester. Create a team which pulls together rather than apart. Recognize and celebrate each other's differences. What brilliant advice. I'm definitely going to suggest some of these tips to my friend, and I'll also make a note to myself, because no matter how much you love or hate your job, sometimes things do get a bit much. But with these tips in mind, it is possible to prevent emotional exhaustion at work. So if you're asking how do I handle Christmas, for me, it's by sticking to tradition. There's the big slap on the forehead. What do? I'm a big Christmas junkie. I have to have a different theme to my Christmas tree every year. So I have tubs and tubs of various and assorted coloured and themed Chrissy decorations and all the trimmings to match each year, each theme. Last Christmas, I absolutely went all out. I had a sunflower-themed Christmas tree and decorations. And this was inspired by a visit to a local sunflower farm here in my local area earlier on in the year, where you were able to just meander up and down the rows of these amazing and feel-good flowers that range in size from knee-high to absolutely towering over the top of your heads. And that the blooms or the heads on them are as big as your own head, if not wider. But the most amazing experience, and it just stayed with me for the whole year, it was. So here's a fun fact. Did you know that in moments of gloominess, sunflowers turn toward one another for strength? They power each other through those hard times of little light. Naturally, they count on each other, knowing that soon the sun and their vigour will return. Folks, it's time to be sunflowers and surround ourselves with plenty of them. So that's what I did last year, and it looked amazing, albeit it cost me an absolute fortune to source all things sunflowers. And what do I find going shopping this year? Sunflowers. Now, the clock has begun to wind forward through 2020, and thank God for that, majority of society are saying. And I have been enlightened by the theme of animal print this year. So bring on spots and stripes for my Christmas tree. And this has been inspired by me being awarded a bronze award in the Raw Business Success Awards in the Wildcat of the Year category. So that's my inspiration this year. But tradition has its place, of course, but not if it's at the expense of yourself. And you're doing something just to please someone else, especially if you're following tradition just for the sake of it, even though it stopped working for you a long time ago. Create your own new tradition, one that works for you, and it fits into the life you choose to have. After all, the definition of insanity is to keep on doing the same thing and expect different results. How to handle your own silly season. Manage your energy. You can survive Christmas feeling strong and energized if you are willing to do something different so you can get different results. So here's a few little simple suggestions on what you can do. Ask yourself, what is important versus urgent? Important refers to high-value activities. These are activities which serve and go towards fulfilling your purpose and are a means to achieving your goals and your targets. Urgent is everything else. Don't be a control freak. Outsource or delegate where you can. Only do things you are best at or passionate about. Tell yourself, it's okay to be less than perfect. In fact, perfect doesn't exist. Be okay if you upset someone because you didn't conform to their expectations. What they think is none of your business. Keep your sense of humor and laugh at yourself when possible. And I do that all the time. It's true what they say, that laughter is the best medicine. Think of the last time you had a good laugh and how that made you feel. It can help to clear your mind and also have a positive effect on those around you. Put yourself first. Create non-negotiable time just for you every day to breathe and just be. Start with 5 minutes. You survived. Finished. Christmas feeling energized and strong. Finally, take time out to do a stock take of the past 12 months. Reflection is a key component to be able to let go and move forward without being weighed down by the baggage of the past year. And there'll be a lot of baggage with this shit year that majority of people have had. That's 2020. Okay, let's go to a little music break and pick the tempo up, and we'll be back soon. Okay, now this next part we're going to talk about, a year in review, it's a little long-winded, and we're going to gut this out. I'm a big fan of performing regular self-reflections. Self-reflections are about systematically asking yourself thought-provoking questions to develop a deeper level of understanding yourself, your thoughts, your feelings, visions, and your goals, etc., and your environment. That's like your relationships, trends, and opportunities. Not to sound too abstract, performing self-reflection means that you take some alone time. Grab a pen and a piece of paper and reflect on your goals, your beliefs, your behavioral patterns, your emotional knots, changes in your environment, and everything else that's happening in your life. The biggest benefit of self-reflection is that you gain a better overview of your life, you better understand yourself and your life situations and other people in it, and thus you can directly impact how you think and feel about certain events in your life. But most importantly, in the end, you can act more wisely. New understandings lead to new thoughts. New thoughts lead to new emotions and consequently to new actions. But there's even more. With regular self-reflections, you can act smarter. You can make sure that your goals and environmental forces are aligned. One big part of self-reflection is to analyse as much information as possible that can help you shape a superior life strategy, progress towards your goals faster, and, in the end, live a better life, the good life. Self-reflections are about becoming a wiser person and acting smarter. Now, don't we all want to do that? To really enjoy all the benefits of self-reflection, you have to perform it on a weekly, if not daily basis. My daily reflections don't take me more than 20 minutes. And sometimes I do longer ones that take up to an hour, especially when I'm stressed out or severe negative feelings are building. And these are usually the best spent minutes of my day because I gain so many insights about myself, my life, and the others around me. But at the end of the year comes the time for a special type of reflection, annual reflection. I call it a year in review. The end of the year is always a great opportunity to do extensive analysis of where you are, how satisfied you are with your life, and where to go to next. So, 2020. Christmas holidays are ideal for a big annual reflection. And I'm always surprised how full gyms are in January. I guess entering a new year does motivate us all to go after new goals, and it makes sense. And I've been one of those at the gyms in January. Life slows down in Christmas time. Relationships and celebrations come before hard work. And usually we are all surprised at how quickly another year has passed us by, and we start wondering what we've really achieved in the past 12 months. And this year, it's been huge. Well, if Christmas holidays are ideal for a bigger self-reflection and setting new goals, it makes sense to do it in a very structured and systematic way. That's why I've prepared a framework with a bunch of questions that will help you perform the year in review in a very professional way. you know, according to the mantra that whatever you do, give it 110%. So before we go to specific questions and exercises, the goals you want to achieve by performing the annual reflection or the year in review are, I may have to refer to my notes here because, as I said, there's a fair bit involved. Assess where you have been in the beginning of the year and where you are now. Update your life vision and set new priorities. Make sure you are going in the right direction, following your true north. Carefully plan the next year together with specific goals. Prepare your new goal journey map, and we'll talk about that later. And think of all the ways you can adjust to achieve your goals faster or with fewer resources. Analyze all the changes in your environment to make sure you're properly adjusting. Brainstorm new ideas you have about your life and what you would like to experience in the next year. Update your life strategy if necessary. And then systematically go through all the new things that you learned this year and reestablish the connection with yourself. Now, you can email me at jodie@kickasswomen.com.au and I will send you through my free year in review 2020 checklist PDF document. But stay tuned as I'm going to run through the PDF now. So, as I mentioned, the best way to perform annual self-reflection is by doing a set of analytical exercises and answering several questions about your past, your present, and future. Now, I've prepared the framework and questions for you. The first off, we start with a life satisfaction chart and one priority area for the coming year. Now, the best way to start the year in review is with a life satisfaction chart. The life satisfaction chart shows how satisfied you are with different core life areas. And if you're doing such self-assessment for the first time, you need to make two charts. So you have a life satisfaction in the beginning of the year and then a life satisfaction at the end of the year so you can compare. Building a life satisfaction chart is really easy. So you draw a scale from 1 to 10 horizontally and list all 10 areas of life vertically. So that would be health, relationships, money or finance, career, your emotions, competencies, fun, spirituality, technology. You assess every area of life from 1 to 10. In the second step, you take another look at all the areas you assessed with a number 4, 5, 6, or 7. These are the areas where you're averagingly satisfied. It's much easier to reflect and draw conclusions if you have a more shaped and clearer view of whether you're satisfied with a specific area of life or not. So assess life areas again, but now by using only the numbers 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, and 10. You're skipping those middle ones, the middle. Highlight every 1, 2, and 3 with red and every 8, 9, and 10 with green. After completing the assessment for both points in time, beginning and the end of the year, you should make several conclusions. So that's in which life areas have you progressed or declined the most? Why? Which life areas are currently in the red and which ones in the green? Why? And what is the one life area you want to improve the most in the next year? The core bottom line of this exercise is to get a general overview of what happened with your life in the past year and even more, to select one life area on which you will primarily focus all of your improvement efforts in the upcoming year. So I don't know whether everyone can see, but that's just a bit of a diagram of how your chart will be laid out. So the next is, once you have a general overview, it's time to dive deep into the past year. You want to gain as many insights as possible from the last 12 months. And these insights must then be an important input when planning the next year. So here are the questions to answer. Learning from success. What were your 3 to 5 biggest accomplishments in the past year? What contributed the most to these accomplishments? And that's new knowledge, a career coach, a mentor, focused effort. Which other goals have you achieved in the past year? And which new things are you proud of? Which healthy habits have you followed the past year?
Which bad habit to have? What were the smartest decisions you took? Which new competencies, knowledge, upskilling, and strengths have you developed? And what were 2 to 3 greatest lessons that you learned? And which risks did you take and how did they pay off? The next is learning from failure. What were your biggest failures in the past year? How did you grow as a person? And what have you really learned from failure? What contributed the most to the desired results not happening? And what other goals did you not meet in the past 12 months? And there might be a few because of 2020. And there we go. Which unhealthy habits did you follow in the past year? What were your worst decisions of the year? And why did you make them? What is the biggest unfinished business of the year? And what can you do about it? What do you wish you had done differently in the past year? And there'd be lots of things. And how could you have done things better? What risks did you take that didn't pay off? What were your wrong assumptions? The next area is relationships. Did you make any new relationships that enriched your life? Who and why? Which relationships improved the most in your life and why? Which relationships took a downturn and why? And who had the biggest impact on your life in the past year, positive or negative? So then there's the other. Select 3 to 5 keywords for the past year. Use free associations. Which new things did you discover about yourself? What were the biggest resource wasters, time, money, energy in the past year? Wasted courses that you might have enrolled on. What were the best resource investments in the past year? Answer all the questions and then carefully review them. Try to gain as many insights and draw as many bottom lines from the previous year as possible. So then you may need to make firm decisions for the upcoming year. So at this point of your review, you should have a good picture of where you currently are in life and about the core events that had an influence on your life in the past year. The next step is about making firm decisions on how you will improve yourself in the future and what goals you will follow. So here are the questions to answer in this regard. So you've got behavioural patterns again. What are the 3 to 4 things that you will stop doing in the next 12 months? What are the 3 to 4 things that you will start doing in the next 12 months? And what are 3 to 4 things that you will continue doing in the next 12 months? There's a pattern. And what other healthy new habits will you start following? What little fad will you follow? And which bad habits will you ditch? How will you ditch them? Name one personality trait you want to get rid of to become a better person next year. Then look at your personal growth and competencies. Which new competencies do you plan to develop in the next year? Is it going to, you know, impact your career transition if you're thinking of changing? What is the one skill you already possess and haven't been using that you will put to hard work? What is the biggest step out of your comfort zone that you will take, or which fears will you face? Which completely new things will you try in the coming year? How do you intend to be different at the end of next year? That seems such a long way away. Then we go back to our relationships. Which existing relationship in your life deserves more attention? Which new relationships do you plan to forge in the upcoming year? And what kind of help will you seek from current and new people in your life? Who will you help to progress in life in the next year? Who will you mentor? Then look at the environment and trends around. What are currently the greatest opportunities in your environment? Which environmental trends and forces are supporting your goals and which ones are blocking you? Which people are supporting your efforts and which people are playing against you? What obstacles are you facing and how will you overcome them to accomplish your goals? How can you improve your environment so that it's more encouraging and motivating? Goals. On which life area will you focus your efforts the most? And that's from the assessment, the life assessment table previously. What are the 3 to 5 things you must accomplish in the next year, no matter what? Why? List all the goals from your life vision you want to achieve for different life areas. So you should have approximately 10 goals. And define for which goals using your search mode makes sense and for which the execution mode. What is the next planning step? For which goals will you build your goal journey map for? I hope you answer all the questions. It's not that hard, right? The main point of such an introspection is to change your behaviour and your actions. You have to do things differently. You have to improve and grow. You have to start doing certain things and stop doing others. You have to start making wiser decisions. If you don't, the introspection was useless. Changes and adjustments are the whole point of it. Reflection also doesn't equal goal setting. It just gives you a general overview of your past journey, where you currently are and where you want to go. It's only the first step in goal setting. It's about understanding how you can do things better, setting priorities and defining the next execution steps. The wisest next step is making your goal journey map or any other kind of a detailed, flexible plan for the area you want to improve the most and for a few goals that are your priorities. And as we all know, I love journaling and writing down, and I love lists. So just writing down your goals is never enough. You have to live your goals every single day with proper execution. Use those checklists. Tick off your tasks that you want to do daily. Now, okay, that was a mammoth run through. Let me take a quick breath and I'll be back shortly, okay? We'll go to an advert of one of our sponsors.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Hi, Glowgetters. We're Brenjo's Earthmoving, a professional earthmoving business specialising in a range of infrastructure works across a variety of industries, located in Mackay, Queensland. Here at Brenjo's, we're a family-owned company backed by an incredible team. We've seen firsthand the incredible benefits that come from promoting and supporting a diverse workplace. We're so proud to be sponsoring Kick-Ass Radio and Kick-Ass Women's Mission to support women entering into non-traditional roles and careers.
Okay, thanks for that. And that's for Brenjo's Earthmoving. So the next is our Kick-Ass Women Making Waves segment. So if you're not familiar with it, our Kick-Ass Women Making Waves segment this week is, I don't think I could have chosen anyone else. If you're not familiar with the segment yet, well, I thought it was about time to introduce a weekly segment to recognise extraordinary achievements and contributions women have made and continue to make in our unbalanced world. We live in an exciting period of history. The groundswell for change to a more gender-balanced world is growing, with people speaking up and demanding equal opportunity for all women in all walks of life. So women are making their own noise about equality and achievement in all sectors of industry in a world that often serves up extra hurdles for females. These women are trailblazers who, through courage and perseverance, challenge the status quo, defying societal norms with the love of their work and improving the quality of life for many others. They are mothers, daughters, sisters. They are worthy to be honoured. So each week I put someone or put a group up in spotlight of one of these extraordinary women who are making a difference and that are inspiring role models. So this week, our Kick-Ass Women Making Waves spotlight is on the 2020 Top 100 Women. Now, the winners are are of all ages from all walks of life and exemplify achievement in many different fields in the broader construction sector. They were selected for setting high standards of excellence and contributing in ways that inspire us all. This year, the Top 100 Women Foundation received an overwhelming number of responses from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Africa, America, and in the United Kingdom in nominating women within the broader construction industry for this award. Now, for all that don't know about the Top 100 Women, this is an award that is nominated by the community for setting high standards of excellence and contributing in ways that inspire us all. It is an honour to be selected for this award by your community. It speaks highly of how well you and your work are perceived in the broader construction sector. It is a positive contribution that deserves our recognition. And we are proud to say that these women are valued members of our community. Congratulations to all those women in this extraordinary group. Each and every one of you are one hell of a kick-ass woman making waves. And I'm happy to say I was announced as one of those top 100 women. So the Shout Out to Kick-Ass Women Making Waves series is all about recognising that our success and where we are in life is at least somewhat thanks to the efforts, support, mentorship, love and encouragement of others. So if there's someone that you want to dedicate a shout out to, nominate them now. Kick-Ass Women Making Waves is built on recommendations and shout outs from the industries and their friends. It's how we uncover hidden gems. So if you or someone you know deserves recognition, please let me know here. Email me at jodie@kickasswomen.com.au. So let's hear another quick word from one of my sponsors while I take another breath, and we'll be back shortly.
Hey, Glowgetters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, we got to talk about your health and surviving the silly season. So let's touch on the number one motivation for Christmas, the Christmas fare and refreshments. Now we know, and I've said this over the past half hour or so, the holiday season is fast approaching, and while it is a time of fun and celebration, our health often takes a back seat as a consequence. But by making your health a priority, you can avoid the dreaded Christmas weight gain and start the new year without feeling any regrets. I don't know about that. We need to plan ahead. This time of the year tends to get busy, and it's easy to let good habits slide, and we all do it. Even if there's plenty of festive eating over the next few weeks, you can still stay on track by making sure you are eating well the rest of the time and staying active. Make this easier by preparing and freezing extra meals and scheduling in your exercise. Eat mindfully. Eating out and social events usually come along with too much food. The key is to be selective and choose the foods you know you will really enjoy, rather than eating everything that's available. And eat only until you are satisfied, not until you are over full and you're regretting the whole episode then. You need to make a healthier version of yourself. Enjoying the festive fare doesn't have to mean undoing all your good habits built throughout the year. There are plenty of nutritious, tasty options available, and many recipes can easily be modified to make them healthier. So when eating with friends or family, you can make sure there are some healthy options by offering to take an entree, salad or dessert. Some healthy nibblies, a fresh salad, a nice loaf of sourdough bread or a bowl of fresh berries are a good choice that can be enjoyed by everyone. Make up your platter boards with all of or a selection of those on. But beware of the nibblies. It's often not the main meals that are our undoing at this time of the year, but all the extra snacking that comes along with the festive celebrations. You know, the rumbles, the truffles, the white Christmas. Many snack foods are high in saturated and trans fats, so salt and added sugars. So serve up some healthier options or offer to provide them when visiting your friends or family. Good options include some unsalted nuts, hummus, salsa dips with vegetable crudettes, fruit skewers or fruit platter. Don't overdo the Christmas cheer. This is a time when many people overindulge when it comes to alcohol. So set yourself a limit, drink slowly, and alternate alcoholic with non-alcoholic drinks to avoid overindulging. Stay hydrated, lots of water, and stay active. Exercise helps to manage stress and to balance out any extra eating. So keep active and keep healthy. Keep your food safe. Christmas is a time to get together with your family, but it can also be a danger time for possible food poisoning, especially in Australia as it's summertime here. So hot weather, an overloaded fridge, and cooking for more people than we're used to all add up to making perfect conditions for food poisoning bacteria. So keep that of high priority. Then get enough sleep. Christmas preparations and social events can eat into our sleep at this time of the year, but lack of sleep can increase appetite and hunger, make it hard to get motivated to exercise, and can reduce our ability to cope with stress. So plan a few early nights or schedule in some short afternoon naps, especially if you're heading out to social events. And then manage your stress. While it should be an enjoyable time of the year, this isn't the case for everyone. The stress of Christmas, shopping, entertaining, and managing difficult family relationships can take its toll. Try not to take on too much. Schedule in some sleep and rest and take some time out for yourself. Okay, so we're going to have another little audio break and we're going to come back to wrap it up.
Hi, Glow Getters. We're Brenjo's Earthmoving, a professional earthmoving business specialising in a range of infrastructure works across a variety of industries, located in Mackay, Queensland. Here at Brenjo's, we're a family-owned company backed by an incredible team. We've seen firsthand the incredible benefits that come from promoting and supporting a diverse workplace. We're so proud to be sponsoring Kick-Ass Radio and Kick-Ass Women's Mission to support women entering into non-traditional roles and careers.
Okay, so here are your take five tips for today, Christmas and surviving the silly season, plus a couple of bonus tips on the end. Number one is eat with your stomach, not your eyes. We just talked about that. Christmas ham, roast chicken, potato salad, turkey, pavlova and seafood as far as the eye can see. It's an expectation you're going to pile your plate sky high over the silly season. This begs the question, is it even possible to eat healthy over the Christmas? Well, we talked about that just previously. So according to an accredited practicing dietitian, the answer is definitely yes. Overeating is one of the biggest challenges people face at Christmas time, but the good news is you don't have to give up the foods you love to keep on top of your health. Okay, now she also said you need to enjoy yourself, but to remember that it's Christmas Day, not a week-long festivity. I don't know about that. And her advice for Christmas lunch or dinner was to load up your plate with salads and veggies first, then try a little bit of everything else you want to eat. If you finish eating your meal and still feel hungry or want to go back for seconds, put your fork down and wait for about 20 minutes for your stomach to settle and catch up with your brain. If you still feel like eating more after that time, then go for it. Okay, tip number two was be conscious of booze, the alcohol intake. Food isn't the only thing we overindulge in during summer, in Australia especially. Our weekly average alcohol intake triples during the festive season. And while it's okay to relax and enjoy a bevy, it's also possible to reduce the amount of alcohol you're drinking without losing your social life. And your top tip for cutting back is to choose a light version of your drink of your choice, focusing on low alcohol rather than low carbs. By having a glass of water or soda in between your alcoholic drinks, you'll also be able to pace yourself and keep hydrated. And number three was keep on moving. It can be hard to burn off the extra Christmas calories. When your calendar resembles a game of Tetris, If you're struggling to fit in exercise over the silly season, it's best to tackle it early in the morning to squash any excuses and beat the heat. And then number four, we're getting to the end, was 'tis the season to stress less, like we talked about. And number five was seek extra support. If you're feeling like the most wonderful time of the year isn't so wonderful, you're not alone. Remember, we said that there is always support out there for you. Anxiety and depression can be triggered over the festive season, but there's always ways to get help. Okay, that's it, guys. I do hope you found the information and the discussion we had today helpful and valuable, and it gives you something to action and think about over the weekend. Seeing this is the first week of December, let's make it a December to remember. And I'd just like to bring to light that a movie set imagery of beautifully wrapped gifts sitting underneath a tinsel-covered tree, carols playing in the background, and a jovial family sharing food and laughs around a dinner table is unfortunately not the reality for many families, this year more so than ever. Historically, Christmas is an incredibly stressful time, with 31% of Australians saying they feel obligated to spend more time than they can afford, and one in four adults experience anxiety. Alarmingly, half a million people report experiencing fear of being physically or emotionally abused when thinking back to last Christmas. This year, more families may be struggling as a result of job insecurity, border closures, and reduced income. We may head into Christmas longing for a sense of normalcy and grieving for the year that was. We mustn't forget our children that feel the same thing. They've missed out on significant experiences at school and rites of passage with friends, and may be anxious about what's to come. This year, there are children who will be feeling some of these emotions for the first time. Children of all ages will almost certainly have heard messages around about what a difficult year it's been, that 2020 has been a complete write-off, or that the future is bleak. These statements aren't helpful for children who are very intuitive and pick up when something's not right. They may match the level of anxiety, stress, or uncertainty expressed by the adults around them and become withdrawn, worry excessively, or become defiant. With Christmas right around the corner, we should all start off by accepting the year that was and processing our feelings about the challenges, the losses, and sadness we've experienced. Try to identify and name what you're feeling. By spending the time now to look after ourselves and working through our feelings for the year, we'll be in a better place to make wonderful memories with our children at Christmas, regardless of our circumstances. So thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a great week ahead. Keep active, keep safe, and keep in touch. Poscoms, everyone. Go on, get your glow on.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick Ass Women website or follow Kick Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick Ass Radio.